This is Sarah McLennan interviewing Dorothy Willicke about her time in the wax during World War II for the Michigan Women's Historical Center exhibit and oral history project, A Few Good Women, Women in the Military in World War II, on March 12, 2002. So to start, why did you decide to enlist?
My brother was called. And he did not pass the exam, so he was rejected. And I thought, well, I'll be patriotic and I'll take his place.
Mm-hmm. Was there any special reason you decided to join the WAX? Or was that the only service?
Well, that
at the
was
time?
The one that was open at the time.
Oh, okay. And what year was that?
1943.
Okay. And so you just went to your local enlistment center then and signed up, or?
I was working and living in Flint at the time, and I enlisted there.
Okay. And how old were you at the time?
25.
25. Had you graduated from high school then? Well, obviously.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And I graduated from business college, and I have a little university. I took classes that I was interested in, not for any degree or anything, just mm-hmm. for my own interest.
So what did your family and your friends think about you enlisting? Were they supportive or surprised, excited?
Probably surprised. because I came from a small town, Corunna. Mm-hmm. And I was the only one, only woman, until I think during Desert Storm, I'm not sure, another one.
Oh, listen. Really? That long?
But I'm not sure. I think that's the one.
Mm-hmm. So when you started, what was your training like and where did you go to be trained?
Oh, I went to, in the springtime, it was beautiful, to Fort Devens, Massachusetts. And it was so beautiful. And I don't remember too that I disliked anything about it. I was thrilled to be there. And after training, I went to New Jersey, Fort Hancock, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And that was out on a peninsula. And whenever it rained hard, it covered the street.
Oh, no.
So nobody got anywhere.
Oh, no.
We went by boat. We called it cattle boat. Mm-hmm. No place to sit, we stood.
Oh, geez.
To go from, each weekend, half of the wax could go into New York City. And we went by that boat.
So Fort Hancock was near New York City?
Yes, mm-hmm. It was. Fort Hancock was like a peninsula out. Then we went into New York City.
Okay. So when you got to your training, do you remember some of the things they trained you in or what your daily routine was like at all?
I don't really. I should, I suppose, because it was quite an experience. Mm-hmm. But I don't really remember, except when we had KP.
And KP was?
Kitchen police.
Uh-huh.
And fortunately, I never had to clean the grease trap, I think it was called, where all the water from the kitchen area went down this drain. And the people who were working KP had to clean that as well, but I fortunately never had to.
So did you just have a generalized training, or did you go to a specialized training after that?
No, just the general.
Just the general. It was enlisted.
Well, I did when it was time to go overseas. We had overseas training.
Okay.
But I was in recruiting part of the time while I was at Fort Hancock.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you went to Fort Hancock, that was your first post.
Yes.
After training, and you were doing recruiting there?
No, I was doing office work there. I went into recruiting in Newark.
Okay. So how long were you at Fort Hancock for doing your office work?
When I joined, it was Women's Army Auxiliary Corps, or Women's Auxiliary Army Corps, whichever, mm-hmm. WAAC. And while I was at Fort Hancock, it was changed to WAC.
Okay.
And we had to enlist all over again, and those who didn't like it could drop out.
So did you consider not re-enlisting, or?
I never considered it.
You never considered it, so you were ready, just right to re-enlist again.
So then it was the Women's Army Corps. I would not join the Army the way it is now, men and women all together.
Mm-hmm.
We were a separate WAC detachment, although we were on the base, same as the men.
So you had your own barracks? And
we had our own barracks, our own mess hall.
Mm-hmm. So do you remember what it was like then at Fort Hancock? You said when you're talking about leave every other weekend and anything like that, that you want to elaborate on, kind of things you did or?
Well, we had regular exercise and marching and all the things, the same as men, we had that regular. But when we went into New York, there was a place where we could stay, only military
mm-hmm.
women.
Oh, that's nice.
I went to St. Patrick's Cathedral, all the important places.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, after we came back from overseas, one of the ladies, girls, whatever you want to call them, was married at St. Patrick's Cathedral.
Oh,
beautiful.
That wedding. Would be beautiful, I
yes,
bet.
Yes, yes. And in the wintertime, we could go ice skating at Rockefeller Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
And we did the tourist bit, you know.
Right, yeah. And you could go into New York for an entire weekend then.
Yes.
And then you could stay at the place for the women. And
we had the time to get there by boat, and then the boat took us back.
So when you worked at Newark then, did you live on another base in Newark? Or?
No, I lived with a lady in her apartment.
Oh.
And very nice. And that was the first time I saw a lift that would bring things up or take things down.
Like the dumbwaiters?
Yes.
The small ones? Were
yes.
Like dishes and trays? Oh, neat.
And when she had trash, she put it on there and send it down.
Now, was she in the military?
No.
No. Okay.
And there were three of us in recruiting.
And so you would recruit for the WACs?
Yes.
Okay.
And our captain, we were supposed to tell these girls that you can pick out a job you want, and when you get through your basic training, you'll have that job. Well, that wasn't always the way.
Mm.
And we told them that if the job was still open and the Army wanted them there, that they would have it. Otherwise, they'd do whatever they were told, whatever job.
I'm curious about how they assign jobs. Like, did people take exams, or did they randomly assign them? Or
I don't know.
Like once you were in training?
I took several tests for what they thought we were good at.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted me to go into radio, but I didn't want it.
Oh. So you could kind of request or choose what you wanted to do?
Yes. And if the Army wanted you to do it, they wouldn't. Otherwise, they wouldn't. Like when we went overseas, I wanted to go to England.
Right.
Because my father's people came from England. I went to Australia. We were the first WACs to go to Australia.
Oh, really? Now, when was that? When did you go to Australia?
1942.
So that was after you were in Newark?
Yes.
Okay, and then you went to Australia?
Yes, they called me back from recruiting because my orders had come through for overseas. We went to Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia, for our overseas training.
Do you remember what that was like at
Oh, yes.
all?
We lived in barracks that had been men's barracks, and the toilets were side by side, no dividers. And it was the one big room with shower heads. And I was trying to think what else. We brushed our teeth. There was a trough with faucets and water, and we brushed our teeth side by side. Everything was no privacy.
No.
And I don't recall, I think a couple of weeks maybe we were there. I don't recall exactly. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, that's true. That's
That
true.
was over 50 years ago.
Do you remember any of the kind of things that they trained you in, or special courses you had to prepare you for going overseas?
I did office work. Some of the others, some of them were mail clerks and some were mechanics, some of the ladies. And whatever, but I had always done office work, and so that's what I was doing. And I used a stenotype machine. I was one of the first ones to use a stenotype in our little college, business college. And so when we were in Australia, there were several of us that they gave a course in stenotype to change us from civilian language to military language. And in Australia, one thing that was very interesting is that we didn't have to walk around a building, and we're on posts, and so we just walk under it.
Oh, really? They were
Yes.
tall enough where you could just go right
Yes.
under. When did you find out that you were going to be posted in Australia?
When I was going to.
When you were going to go to Australia, because you said at first you wanted to go to England.
Oh, when we got on the ship.
So they told you once you were on the ship on your way there.
We didn't know where we were going. We knew we were going in the Pacific because we left from San Francisco. And so we were knowing we were going that way. And we went overseas on the last large ship that was built for civilian touring.
Oh.
And it was too large to what's the word I want? Anyway, we had to dock in Sydney rather than Brisbane because it was too large for the Brisbane harbor. And we were in Sydney, oh, 2, 3 weeks, I guess. I can't remember. One of the interesting thing was that we went on from with train from Sydney to Brisbane. And when we got to the dividing, Brisbane is in the state of Queensland and Sydney in the state of New South Wales. I think that was it. And when we came to the border, the railroad tracks were a different size, a different, what's that word? Whatever. And so we all had to get off one train and onto another.
Oh, wow. That's really different because it changed
I suppose
prior
it's
to.
not that way now, but it was at that time.
So, what did you think of Australia when you
It
got
was
off the boat and
beautiful,
was it?
yes. And we met the Australian girls that were in their service. One in particular was in the Land Army, so she didn't leave Australia. And another one I met in New Guinea. She was in the hospital corps. And I went back 10 years ago to Australia and visited them.
Oh, that must have been neat.
Yes, it was very nice.
That is, so you kept in touch all that time. You kept in touch all that time.
Yes.
That's wonderful. So you were stationed in Brisbane, you said?
Yes.
Okay. And you were the first WAC unit in Australia. So what was that like when you got there? What were people's reactions and that type of thing?
Oh, they were lined up to watch us. It was like a parade. As we got off the ship, the people were all watching.
And so there were just like male army people there at the time. And then you were the first women group to come.
Yes.
So, but did they have barracks and everything all set up for you and ready when you got there?
And in Brisbane, when I went back to visit, I went to the same church that I had gone to when I was first there with the Army.
Oh, that's nice. And it was still there. That must have been a really great trip. A lot of memories, I bet.
Oh, yes. Very nice. And we were invited into the families for lunch, dinner, whatever, Sunday after church. We went to this one family, another WAC and I.
So you were, but you lived on a, was there an Army base there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we lived on the Army base.
Okay.
Fence all around it. Had to show our pass to get in and out.
To get in and out. But it was, you got to go to the town a lot and...
Oh, yes.
Okay.
And we were issued stamps for clothing. And this other WAC and I went in and we spent our whole book stamps on red flannel house coats or whatever and black felt shoes. Took all of our stamps.
Oh, no. So what was the weather like? Was it cold or warm?
No, Brisbane is never cold. They think it is. We're from Michigan.
Compared to Michigan.
Yes. It was beautiful weather while we were there. And when I went back, the same thing. It was lovely.
Mm. Do you remember what time of the year you went there, what month it was? Or
I went overseas in May. And so when I was in Australia, it would be from May, June, July. That is their winter.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went. I don't know whether I should put this on the tape. When we left Australia to go to New Guinea, we went by this little, we called it cattle boat. And one of the boys wanted to take his little dog with him, but they weren't allowed to. And so he asked us if we would, because they didn't search the WAC like they did.
Oh.
So we put the little dog in one of our bags. And on the boat, I said, and Ginny couldn't remember either how that dog went to the bathroom. And we said, we couldn't. And when I was visiting friends in Toledo later, and I was telling him about that, he was a Navy man, and he said, why, on the poop deck, of course.
Of course. So why did you move from Australia to New Guinea?
Oh, the Army.
The Army was moving?
One thing that happened while I was in Australia, we were getting on the elevator to go up the next floor, and the MPs came and told us, you know, everybody off, because General MacArthur and his entourage were going.
Oh.
So we had to wait till they got where they were going. That's the only time I ever saw him.
But you saw him go by to get in the elevator.
Yes.
Well, that must have been kind of neat, though.
What?
That must have been kind of neat to see MacArthur.
Yes.
That must have been kind of cool.
And when we went to New Guinea, we went to Hollandia. And we had, there was a big warehouse. And 300 WACs in their beds lined up. You know.
Wow.
And fortunately, I don't know how those WACs found their cots, but I was on the corner of what we dubbed see, something of 42nd Street. What is it in New York? Broadway.
Broadway.
Broadway and 42nd Street. That was. And I had a mirror, and I tacked it up on the post, and so everybody could come by and use it. But that was. I was trying to think that I should bring that picture. I worked for a lieutenant. I was his secretary, and I can't remember how long I was there. This was in New Guinea, and our buildings were, they were built up from the, there was a floor and then posts, and the walls were not put clear down to the bottom.
Oh.
And they were not put clear up to the top. There was open space. And dogs would run through. And at one time I went in and there was quite a large spider. And I thought, well, I'll just squash it with the wastebasket. So I set the wastebasket on it, and all these babies looked like hundreds of them.
Oh, my God.
They had been riding on her back, apparently.
Wow.
That was a little frightening.
Now, why do you think they left it open at the top and the bottom of the building?
They were all built like that in New Guinea.
I don't know, to let the breeze come through or air?
Probably, because it was hot.
It was really hot.
And there was no air conditioning anywhere then, mm-hmm. except as the breeze went through. I suppose that's why it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the men who worked in the office supply part used rocks to set on the paper so they wouldn't blow away.
So what was the setup like in New Guinea? I'm curious about, you lived on a base there?
Yes. And we were very fortunate. After I left Hollandia, I went to Lae, L-A-E, Lae, New Guinea. And that was where, what was her name? Amelia Earhart left from that air strip before she was disappeared.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And there we were very fortunate that we lived in what had been a hospital, so we had nice beds.
Mm-hmm.
And we had mosquito netting always that we tucked in around us. And if we were fortunate enough to have somebody bring us some bananas, we'd hang them on the bed post, and everybody would help themselves. And bananas, when they're ripened on the trees, do not taste the same as what we buy.
Oh, really?
It's sweeter and kind of softer. Yeah, altogether different from what we buy.
That's really neat. You said all the WACs lived in one place. Did they kind of have their separate area of the base, or, you know, was everything?
Yes, we were separate from the men.
From the men.
And we lived in barracks.
Mm-hmm.
And we soon learned to take our showers at night rather than in the morning after the sun had heated the water a little.
Oh.
Because we never had hot water from the time we left Australia until we got on the way back. We stopped in Guam.
Mm-hmm.
And they had prepared a beautiful meal for us, because we didn't have that overseas either. And we all ran to the showers. We wanted to wash our hair and take a shower in warm water.
And then it was like, forget the meal, we just want to go get the shower first.
But I was trying to think, when I left New Guinea, I went to go to the Philippines. I can't even remember how long I was in New Guinea. I was 18 months overseas altogether. and I had malaria, so I...
Oh, you did?
I flew back on a hospital plane.
So you got malaria at the end of your time overseas?
In the Philippines.
In the Philippines. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious what the bases were like. Were they temporary bases because the Army was on the move?
Yes.
Okay.
Some of them were.
Some of them were.
Just like the hospital beds that we had, that was a hospital unit, and mm-hmm. when they left, we were fortunate to have it. They didn't take the beds. I don't think they took any bedding as such when they moved. Mm-hmm. I think it was all new to them before they moved. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the fighting men. We didn't have any connection with them.
You didn't have any connection with them?
Except when we were at Hollandia, we had to show our ID in order to get into the meals to eat.
Oh, really?
Because they said they had too many Japanese that were kind of left behind or lucky enough not to be shot. And they would dress and in the uniform and come to the mess hall to eat.
Did you eat in the same mess hall with the male military?
Yes, we did then.
And what was the food like?
The food was not bad. It wasn't good, but it wasn't. We had like the potatoes, potato flakes that you make into mm-hmm. mashed potatoes, and margarine that was like Crisco, like yellow Crisco. Our food was from cans and bowls, such as that. Mm-hmm. We didn't have fresh fruits.
And you were doing office work then the whole time?
Yes.
So you were kind of, was the WAC detachment like a support staff kind of thing? Was mostly everyone doing clerical things, or was there a wide range of duties?
No, there were, some of the girls drove Jeeps and mechanics. Mm-hmm. Just whatever.
Whatever was needed. Mm-hmm. How close were you to the men who were fighting, you know, and advancing?
We were not during Australia and New Guinea. When I was in the Philippines, we had restrictions because there was some fighting stragglers. Mm-hmm. And I met in the Philippines, when we went to church, two of us together, and we were invited to the missionary's home for dinner after church. And their home had been partly bombed away, and they did their cooking on outside on a makeshift stove. It was quite interesting.
Oh, I bet.
And I kept in touch with those missionaries. One had been a prisoner of the Japanese at, what was the name of that place? It had been a university, and the Japanese threw them all in there. And one young girl who was going out in the mission field for the first time, and the plane sat down in Manila to be refueled, and they were all captured by the Japanese and thrown into prison. And this, she had a doll, a stuffed doll, and she kept a record of what happened. And she'd stuff the papers inside that doll.
Oh.
So they wouldn't be seen.
Right.
And then she wrote a book after that was called Delayed Manila.
Delayed Manila.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
But I did keep in touch with these missionaries, and visited them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you've been back to the Philippines too then?
No, they came when they came to the United States.
They came to the United States. I see. Uh-huh. So when did you move from New Guinea to the Philippines? Do you remember, or you were kind of just moving with the army at that point?
As they cleared the way, we moved.
I see.
After
I
them.
See.
And in the Philippines, we had a Filipino man who worked in our mess hall, and the Japanese had cut his tongue out because he had information and he would not tell them, so they cut his tongue out.
Did you encounter a lot of people who had been in prisoner of war camps and that type of thing as you were moving through the Philippines?
When we went there, the prisoners had been, what's the word I want?
Liberated or released?
Yes, yes, by the American Army. Mm-hmm. In fact, this Miss Swanson told me that she was interned in the prison, and she said when the Americans came and released them, and they looked at the records, and the Japanese were going to shoot all those prisoners at roll call that morning.
That morning.
Yes, and they were liberated around 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. Wow. Right in time. So what were the surroundings like when you moved into the Philippines, and and what did you think of it as you went through that kind of area?
In the Philippines, in Manila, the buildings were almost all bombed out, and the people who lived there, some of them would get a metal sheet or wood or whatever and make a lean-to, and that's what they lived in. Mm-hmm. And one lady, I was hospitalized while I was there, and the lady in the bed beside me, oh, this was interesting. We were in the hospital, and whenever it rained, the people who were able would pull the beds away from the windows because there was no glass on the windows. It was just open space. It was. And I was trying to think. We were in what had been the Philippine General Hospital. That's where we were billeted. Mm. And the Japanese had poisoned the water while they were there, and it killed all the people that were in the hospital when they used it. And the Japanese were very mean.
And that was before the American army came through.
Yes.
They had poisoned the water in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Was it still being used as a hospital at that point?
No, oh. It was our barracks.
Okay.
And we couldn't use the water pipes or whatever. And there were showers and toilets built out behind it. And the water was turned on only so much in the mornings and so much at night. Otherwise, we drank water from a Lister bag. This was a big, like a canvas bag, mm-hmm. filled with water and whatever they put into it to make it drinkable.
Was it just hanging somewhere?
Yes, yes.
And so you just get your water from that to drink?
Mm-hmm. Terrible tasting.
Probably from whatever they treated
it
with. But it was wet. So the weather, was it very hot when you were there?
And yes, it was hot. And we had free time to look around. Mm-hmm. But most of the buildings were just bombed out. And they had an open market. You've probably seen some on TV, these open markets with food just around them.
Yeah.
And We didn't buy it, but the people out in the Philippines did.
And what were you, I'm curious about your uniforms while you were in the Philippines and overseas, especially in the tropical kind of climate. What were they like, and were they different because you were in such a hot area?
No, it was the same uniform that we had, summer uniform in the United States. That's what we had over there, and in khaki color.
Can you describe what it looked like? It was a khaki uniform, like a skirt and...
Well, yes, a skirt and shirt and mm-hmm. jacket, like a suit that we would buy now,
mm-hmm.
like this.
Like that.
Only not a blouse like this. It was a khaki blouse, and we had to wear, button it up and wear a tie as protection from malaria, or mosquitoes that would get malaria.
Did you have, like, any pant outfits or anything like that? Or did you always wear the skirts?
We did have pant outfits in New Guinea. And I don't recall that we wore pants, because pants were not popular then. Everybody wore dresses. And in fact, after I was out of the Army, I lived in the East. And when we would go shopping on a Saturday, we always wore gloves and a hat.
Oh, wow.
Just for shopping or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It was fair. But in the Philippines, I visited this one lady that had been in the hospital, and they had a cover only over the living room part of their home. And so that's where she had her bed. It was... You know, it's hard to describe what it was like. It was just unbelievable, unbelievable. Because everything had been bombed. It was awful.
Mm-hmm.
We had the World Trade Center. That was nothing to what happened in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm. And so all the cities and everything were really bombed out when
yes.
you went through. Did you need passes or anything to... you know, travel outside your base or
oh,
around
yes.
the town?
We always had a pass to carry everywhere we went.
And did they restrict, like, times you could go, places or where you could go at all?
Sometimes, not always.
Not always.
There wasn't very much we could go to, especially in New Guinea. There was no place we could go. We were based on the water, so we could go swimming.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
And as far as your uniforms, I just want to hit one more thing. Were they comfortable then to wear in that kind of climate, or, you know, reasonably so? Were you okay with wearing them?
Well, we learned. We learned to like them,
mm-hmm.
to wear them. We did have, for our exercise, we had a dress and sort of a bloomer pants that we did exercise with. I wish I'd brought my pictures. I don't think about it.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can bring them in, you know, the next time you're in town. That would be great. And then we could go through them, and that would be
And I have
really
pictures
helpful.
Of the Philippines, how it was destroyed.
Oh, great. Manila. That would be great.
And where I live now, there was a lady from... the Philippine Islands. They are from Manila. And so I brought all my pictures down to show her.
Did she recognize anything? Or?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Let me see here. Did you ever feel like you were in danger when you were overseas?
No.
No?
You're a young person. You don't have fear.
Not really, no.
No.
Probably not as much as you should.
No, we never had it. Well, I didn't. I can't speak for anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But I had no fears.
Mm-hmm.
It was all a great experience. And we were not close to the fighting.
Mm-hmm.
In the Philippines, there were stragglers that we had to watch out for.
Mm-hmm. So did you ever hear any, you know, sounds of battle or things in the distance? Or
in the Philippines, we did occasionally.
Mm-hmm. Occasionally. Mm-hmm. But nothing really close.
No.
No. see. Oh, and so what was it like being in a predominantly male environment? Because I know there weren't a lot of WACs overseas, especially in the South Pacific. So was that, you know, what was that like?
Well, it was like living in a community.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Philippines, we did associate some with the Filipinos.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of the ladies, the one that we visited in her home, she said she wished she had some cold cream, some face cream. They had nothing.
Oh.
And so when I came home, I sent her a package with
That's really nice.
Cold creams and things in it.
That's really sweet.
But the devastation was just unbelievable.
I lost my train of thought. I was going to ask about, you said that you had malaria when you were in the Philippines.
Yes.
So did you have, was there a lot of problems with illness or people getting sick?
I was in the hospital with Manila, at Manila, with malaria, and every morning we had to give a sample of urine, and they had beer bottles. And one of the girls said, "We can't use this. It says do not refill." But I shook so badly with malaria. I don't know if you're familiar with it. You're either so hot that you shake, or you're so cold to pile blankets on that doesn't help. And I shook so badly, I moved my bed right across the floor.
Oh, my goodness.
Just that I remember.
So how long were you in the hospital with that then?
I don't even remember.
But you stayed, you were hospitalized in the Philippines, and then you got over your malaria, and did you go back to duty then, or?
No, I was sent home.
You were sent home. Were you sent home because of the malaria?
I had my orders to go home. Then
you got sick.
Got the malaria.
Oh, I see.
And so when I was released from the hospital, I just went on the hospital plane,
mm-hmm,
back to United States, and I was at, can't even remember where we landed in California. We left from San Francisco, but I don't know that we came back there. And I don't know how long I was there. I went from there to Gardner General Hospital. This is military,
mm-hmm,
in Chicago. And there, I had developed this rash that the fellows used to call, it just went from my mind. But anyway, I was in the hospital because it was all over my chin. Fortunately, not on my face, but on my chin and neck and shoulders. So I was in the hospital until that was cleared up.
And what would have caused that?
The hot weather and perspiring and no way of cooling off, so, mm-hmm, to speak. And the fellows used to call it jungle rot.
Jungle rot. Did you have any problems with shoes, like keeping your shoes dry, or was it muddy?
Yes.
Yes.
We didn't, because we had a big cement floor, and the non-coms were intense, and they would tie their shoes up.
Oh my goodness.
So, because if it rained, the water went right through the uh-huh tent.
And so that was even the women WACs lived in tents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The sergeants, tech sergeants and staff sergeants lived in tents.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of us peons lived in that. There were probably about 300 WACs that lived in that.
Wow. And that one big building that you were talking about?
It was like a, you know, some people put up pole barns now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was sort of like that.
Okay.
It had a cement floor and a roof and mm-hmm. some siding. I don't recall it had very much siding. I was fortunate enough to live in the middle.
So what about R&R? Did you, when you were overseas, did you have times when you had a break or anything like that?
Yes. I'm trying to think. In New Guinea, there was an island that we were sent to for a week or so, or allowed to go, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall whether we had to request it or whether, after so much time, they would send us there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was nice. And there was a New Guinea woman that had a little baby.
Oh.
And I asked her how old. She said, 2 months.
Two moons.
2 moons. Oh. Which would be 2 months.
2 months. But that's the way she measured the time mm-hmm. was with the moon.
Yeah.
That's really neat.
And while we were in New Guinea, we went to a festival. It might have been on Christmas, because I was there during Christmas time. It might have been a Christmas, but the natives had made hats that would go way up in the air, and others, and they had this big festival at Christmas time.
Oh, neat.
That was interesting. And we watched them play, not at Christmas, but another time, we watched them play what we call soccer. And they don't wear any shoes. Their bottoms of their feet are like leather. They didn't wear much clothes either.
So they just wore the one, with a lap-lap, you said it was called?
It was called a lap-lap. And some of the women wore tops and some didn't.
Oh, really?
The American, the powers that be,
mm-hmm.
tried to tell the women they had to wear tops. They didn't want the men watching. But they didn't all wear tops anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And the children didn't wear anything. Up to a certain age and our size anyway,
mm-hmm.
but the little ones didn't wear anything. Their homes were all built up on stilts. And they were built not wood like we have, but the trees, the branches and so on would help. Mm. And then straw type roofs on them.
Oh, wow. It must have been neat to see such a different culture
and
way of life when you were there.
Yes, it was.
So was it exciting to travel kind of to all these different places?
I enjoyed it very much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as much as you could in the Army. We had certain rules and regulations and restrictions that we had to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got up in the morning at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And when we lived in that big place like a pole barn, out behind it was a long building that where we used the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember where we had showers. We must have had maybe in half of that same building. I don't remember.
Hmm. Did you get to interact with any of the male people in the Army, you know, the other soldiers who were there?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and we were able to date sometimes.
Was there many social activities at all, or?
There some parties occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And we had movies. And our movie theater was, you're too young. It was like the free shows were when I was young. There was a screen and wooden benches to sit on.
Oh. Was it inside or was it outdoors?
Outdoors.
Outdoors.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
Everything's outdoors.
So what did you do when it rained? Well, they just picked it all up and...
Well, I don't recall. It did rain
mm-hmm.
often. And our church, they always had a church. And it was the main part. And then there was a part built on one side for the Protestant and the other side for the Catholic. They all used the same building.
Oh, I see.
But the pastor and the priest had their areas.
Half and half.
Yes.
So what did your parents think when you were overseas? Were they worried that you were so
probably.
Far away and in the war zone? And
they probably were.
Did you write back and forth?
Oh, yes.
A lot? Yeah.
It wasn't always easy to get the mail out or in, but,
mm-hmm.
but we did.
Even when you were in the Philippines and moving around,
yes.
you were still able to get it?
We always had the Army mail.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have to put our mail with...
Like just from the general Philippines mail?
Yes.
I see.
When I was in New Guinea, it would be during 1942. Because I was in probably 1942. That is when the Air Force was started.
Oh.
Some of our WACs had worked. It was the Army Air Force. And some of them did.
But then it became its own autonomous.
Yeah. Now it's a separate.
Just the Air Force.
Air Force.
Oh, I see, in 1942.
Huh. About that time, I think, because I was in from... And when I got out of the Army, on April 1st, and the sergeant stood up here and he said, "You ladies just think you're getting out of the Army. You see what day it is?" He said, "Tomorrow you wake up and find you're still with us." But I was hospitalized in Chicago, and then I went east. We could request where we wanted to be discharged, and I went to New Jersey because I wanted to travel there, and
mm-hmm.
and it was easier to be discharged there. And I had my car when I was in Chicago, but I can't remember. I had it before I went into the Army, and it was at my folks, and I took it to Chicago. I was able to have it there.
Mm-hmm.
And almost every day I would find a note on my windshield wanting to know if I would sell them the car.
Oh, really?
It was very difficult to get any cars at that time.
Mm-hmm. So where were you on VJ Day when the war ended?
I was on the top of our building. We went up there to sunbathe.
And this was in Chicago?
No. That was in the Philippines.
Oh, in the Philippines still.
I was in the Philippines.
Oh, okay. I see.
And we were several of us up there, and we had a radio, and that's how we found out VJ Day. Actually, now VJ Day is in September.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was in August when the Filipinos surrendered, but the official
I see
part. It was on one of our ships, I don't know, remember which one, that all the papers were signed and they officially gave up.
So were people excited? Was there a celebration or anything?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And I had an opportunity then to go to Japan. And
oh, really?
I said, oh, no. I've been 18 months overseas. I was ready to go home. Now I wish I had gone to Japan.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
But the war in Europe ended, I believe, in May. And some of the soldiers from there were brought to the South Pacific.
Oh, I see. So how long were you in the Army after the war ended then?
Altogether, I was in 3 years. And the war in the Pacific, the Japanese, mm-hmm. ended in September. And I was discharged the following April 1st.
Oh, that's right, April 1st, April Fool's Day.
Yes.
Was that the term that you had signed up to serve?
We signed to serve for the duration.
Oh, for the duration of the war.
If it had lasted 10 years, we'd have been there 10
I
years.
See.
There was no set time.
Oh, okay.
Like now, or at least in peacetime, mm-hmm. they joined for 3 days, 3 years, I think, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think it's something like that.
When we signed it, it's stated for the duration.
I see, for good. did you ever encounter any stereotypes about military women? You know, even jokingly or seriously?
Did I?
Any stereotypes? Such as maybe military women, I don't know.
Well, we heard by the grapevine
uh-huh.
that they considered us there to serve the men.
I see.
Which wasn't true.
Right.
But while I was in Chicago, I went to hear Helen Keller speak.
Oh, wow.
That was interesting. And I met her, shook hands with her.
That's really neat.
And she would put her fingers either on your mouth or on your throat to hear, because she couldn't see nor hear
right.
at all.
Oh, that is so cool.
That was one of the best times of my life,
mm-hmm.
Was to meet her.
That is really neat. What an amazing woman to meet. That would be really cool.
Oh, just unbelievable. Actually, I always thought Helen Keller was the one that was celebrated, so to speak, but it should have been Anne Sullivan who taught her all these things.
Let's see. So what did you think about your experience overall? Would you do it again if you had the chance?
I probably would.
Mm-hmm.
Not the way of the, if it were a WAC detachment. I
right.
would not go.
If it was then and you had it to do all over
yes.
again.
I would not join the way it is now with
no.
men and women all together.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think about women in the military now, in the things they're involved in? Do you think women should be involved in combat or they should be integrated? What's your personal opinion on that?
Well, I had always thought the women should not be in combat with the men, not because they wouldn't be able or as good as the men or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but a man has a tendency to protect the woman, and it might be disturbing that way.
Mm-hmm.
One of my friends was fluent in German. And she went with the men who had telephones, and she would interpret for them.
Oh, wow.
The German language, and she was an interpreter for them.
That is really neat.
That was interesting to hear her talk about that.
Oh, I bet.
But I never felt I was in any danger.
Mm-hmm. And you always got favorable reactions to the wax being there and helping out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Except the men who were working in the offices, and they were released to fight. They weren't too
happy. They probably didn't want to really go into combat. Yeah.
They were not too happy about it.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. Oh, and I was just also curious, when you were overseas, was there any emphasis about looking feminine or ladylike, or did you and the other wax personally feel like, you know, you still wanted to feel, you know, like a woman, or, you know, even
oh,
though
yes.
you're over there? And
yes.
There was?
I always felt like a lady.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, we were welcomed in Australia. Of course, in New Guinea, we seldom saw a native. We did one time. I went with two or three others, and we went into the hills panning for gold. And we
oh, wow.
we saw some natives there, but we had very little connection with the natives mm-hmm. in New Guinea.
But then in the Philippines, you saw a lot more.
Another whack and I went to the Australians for Easter dinner, and the natives served them.
They, mm-hmm.
I don't know whether, I don't suppose the natives did any cooking, but they served the tables.
I see. So then, what did you do right after you got out of the Army?
I went back to the job I had before, because this was the agreement or whatever, the promise,
mm-hmm.
that when the military people were discharged, they could go back to their same one. I was private secretary for the assistant controller of Chevrolet plant.
Oh, wow.
In Flint.
In Flint.
And when I went into the Army, and when I came out, he was the controller of the Chevrolet plant in Bloomfield, New Jersey. And I stopped to say hello to him, and he asked me if I would come back there instead of going back to Flint. So I thought, sure, why not?
So you moved to New Jersey?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And living in the East was altogether different from living here, especially now. I guess they're different now too, probably. But the restaurants opened, were not open for breakfast and lunch. The better restaurants did not open until dinner time.
Hmm. That's really interesting.
And we went to Captain Starnes' restaurant. This was a ship, a boat, that was docked, and it was a restaurant, and we went there to eat.
Oh, wow.
They gave us big bibs to eat with lobster.
Did you have lobster? I was going to say, yeah. That is really neat. Well, that pretty much wraps up the questions that I had. Was there anything else that you wanted to add or mention?
Well, I can't think of anything in particular now.
Okay.
When I went back, 10 years ago, I went back to visit in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was visiting my friends in McGregor, it was just outside of the capital. Can't think of the capital, but I should. Anyway, her husband had retired. He had worked for the government, and he was retired. So I had my own personal tour guide.
Oh, nice.
All the beautiful buildings and all. And they have, from their war memorial building, they have, can't think of the word on them. Anyway, they have all the names of their military from the time that they started. are listed there, the ones that had been killed or lost or whatever.
Right.
But one thing, we went through the museum, and they had in there a Japanese single, little like a submarine.
Mm-hmm.
And that had been taken out of Sydney Harbor during the war. I didn't realize that the Japanese went that far.
No, I didn't either. I didn't know they were to Australia.
They said they took it out of the Sydney Harbor.
Wow.
Yes. I know my friends in Brisbane at one time, they were all to move away from the harbor. I don't know how long they had to, but at one time they did.
Yeah.
But that's semi-tropical, so they've never seen snow.
Right.
My son lives in Marquette, and one couple that used to work with him had moved to Florida, and they'd been there several years. They moved back now, and they had a little, I think the girl was 3 years old, had never seen snow. She was so thrilled.
I bet.
Yes. And my son said, here I was out in the snow making angels, showing this little girl how.
That's so sweet. Oh. But you said you did keep in touch with a lot of people from when you were in
yes.
the service.
Oh, yes. I kept in touch with so many people. And the one lady who lived in Little Rock, Arkansas, every 5 years had a reunion of...
For the WACS?
For the group of us that...
Oh, that's so
that
nice.
...were for Hancock for the time. And we... But I don't think I have any left now.
Oh.
I keep in touch with her children.
Mm-hmm.
I went to all their weddings, but I keep in touch with them. But, I had so many friends, and I traveled after I was out of the Army and working. I traveled all over the United States, and I'd stop and see them and kept in touch with them all that way. But nobody anymore.
Oh, that's too bad.
In fact, when I was retired and lived in Lansing at Riverfront when it was first built, and there were about 20 of us that used to go out for dinners or lunches or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I still visit a couple of them, but I'm the only one that's still running around loose.
Oh, boy.
The last two are in nursing homes. One is not able to get around at all. The other one is in there because she's losing her eyesight.
Oh, yeah.
And she will be 94 this summer, and she doesn't even take any medication.
That's wonderful.
And she can walk around. She has to walk with a wheelchair,
mm-hmm.
or a walker. They're not allowed to walk without because they might fall.
Mm-hmm.
But she is there and is quite happy. But she can get around and do whatever they have. They have a craft room and they have meetings and
mm-hmm.
such, you know.
Yeah.
Parties.
Well, that sounds pretty
and
nice.
And she's able to get around, but she couldn't live alone in an apartment because she couldn't see well enough. And she has two sons who are worse off. They both had heart attacks and heart, what do I want to say, one has a monitor and the other, I can't remember, but they're both in bad shape. Unbelievable.
It is, it really is.